Hi, my name is Allison Klein.
And my name is Ben Klein.
Together, we own and operate Abundance Wealth Management, an independent financial planning practice.
At Abundance, we're passionate about empowering driven, determined young professionals and families with strategies to grow their net worth and meet their goals.
With this podcast, we're here to be real people with you, to share what we've learned through our careers in financial planning. If we've done our job right, you'll walk away from these episodes with new information and a renewed confidence in your ability to tackle your goals.
Generosity is one of our core values. For us, being open-handed with our knowledge is one way that we get into the abundance mindset. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, Ben, what do we have today?
Today we have Roth conversions, or even put more broadly, we'll call it making the most of your Roth dollars. So we've already hit on Roth a couple of times in previous episodes around 401ks particularly. But today we're going to talk about a few different ways that you can think about Roth as a part of your holistic investment strategy. So again, we've talked about this a bit in a couple of past episodes, but for anybody new or for anybody who hasn't heard those, Allison, could you start by just refreshing us a little bit on asset location and sort of what the value is from being diverse in your asset location?
Yes, absolutely. So as we delve into a specific tax strategy today, that's going to be great, but I would encourage you to listen to that asset location episode because I think that's one of my favorites. And ultimately, you want to have your wealth in different places as in tax vehicles, right? You might have a bucket that's taxed later. You might have a bucket that's not taxed when it comes out. You might have a bucket that you pay a little bit of tax. There's different tax wrappers, we'll call them, that you can have your money in. It can all be invested, but ultimately you want the right percentage in each. And that's how in our planning, we've seen people save hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars, is having the right accumulation of wealth in the right bucket. And today we're going to talk about shifting money to maintain and create those and sustain those right percentages. So one of the tax strategies for making those shifts is called Roth conversions. So if we recall, let's just talk about two tax wrappers, right? A pre-tax or a traditional IRA, right? Money that you've got a deduction putting your money in, it's sitting there tax deferred, but then you'll owe ordinary income tax when you take the money out, right? So that's a traditional pre-tax IRA versus a Roth IRA. You will pay the tax on the way in. So you've funded it with money you've already paid tax on, and then it sits there tax-free, grows tax-free, coming out withdrawn tax-free. So two opposite vehicles, and we're going to talk specifically about one strategy today called a Roth conversion that shifts pre-tax dollars into Roth over time.
Could you remind listeners some of the positive aspects of Roth and why you like it as a part of a comprehensive plan?
Yeah, so whether it's a Roth 401k or Roth IRA, that just means that you funded it with money you've already paid tax on. It's sitting in the vehicle, it's growing tax-free. Hopefully it's invested and you've invested it appropriately, but participating in that market growth, right? And you're still not paying tax on that for however long it sits in there, and you won't pay tax on it in as you withdraw, right? And so that's, as it stands currently, just the upside tax-free benefits when we say the word Roth.
Yeah, Roth dollars can be really powerful. Actually, there was a client we were speaking with recently who owns a business, and we were chatting about opportunities that that him and his wife may have for hiring their children in the future and potentially setting up Roth IRAs for them as teenagers. And Roth is the type of vehicle that is really valuable and it increases in value the longer you're able to hold on to it. So If you think about interest or investments compounding tax-free for 6+ decades for a 12-year-old investing his first Roth dollars, that can be pretty impactful for that person's life. So in many cases, Roth dollars are great to have for a lot of planning clients. Why can't we all have more Roth dollars if we want them?
So there's two limits on the Roth vehicle, right? Let's just say a Roth 401k and a Roth IRA. One limit on a Roth 401k, the amount you can put in, right? So for this year, $23,000 standardly in 2024. For a Roth IRA for 2024, that's $7,000. Now, as many people listening to this podcast might know, Roth IRAs have a second limit. The government has put an income limit on Roth IRAs. So if your modified adjusted income is over a certain limit for either married filing jointly or a single filer, you above that limit can't add any more in because you make too much money. So that is a limit on a Roth IRA, an income limit. And this is where many professionals do find themselves phasing out of being able to contribute. And so this is where the strategy we're going to talk about starts to come into play, which is a Roth conversion.
Right. So if you're a professional who, you know, perhaps, I mean, even if you do have a 401k available to you, perhaps you don't have Roth available to you. Even if you are contributing to Roth, you might have a lot of pre-tax dollars that you could benefit from converting over to Roth. So before we get into what they actually are, Allison, could you explain how someone can be eligible to do Roth conversions?
Essentially, anyone is eligible to do a Roth conversion. A Roth conversion has no income limits, unlike a Roth contribution, right? So this kind of unshackles us from those constraints. The thing you need to know is, when you make a conversion or a shift from, let's just say I have $100,000 in an IRA and I have $100,000 in a Roth IRA and I want to make a Roth conversion in the full year, and I decide I could move $100,000 from my IRA into my Roth and make that $200,000 in my Roth IRA. That would be me shifting it, utilizing a Roth conversion. But what happens is I pay tax on that, right? So I just bump my income up for the year by, you know, roughly $100,000. And, you know, that might not have been the smartest thing, or maybe it was. It depends, right, on my plan. But that essentially is a Roth conversion. So I've essentially added $100,000 to my Roth. I paid the tax for it, right? Because it came from an IRA, a traditional account. But ultimately, that is what I would call an IRS loophole right now, is there is no income limits on a conversion, right? Because even if I'm under the Roth IRA contribution limit, I can only add in $7,000 for 2024. But conversions, this is a different thing.
Right. So from a practical limitation perspective, there is no practical limitation. You could convert as many dollars as you currently have in a pre-tax bucket. However, while there might not be a practical limitation, there's plenty of logical limitations. So would it make sense for, you know, say you've got $500,000 in pre-tax dollars, it's probably not going to make sense for you to try to shift those all at once, or maybe at all, maybe in the near term. And that's where long-term tax planning really comes into play.
Yeah, people who are listening shouldn't just say, oh, I'm going to go do a Roth conversion. Well, that might not make sense for you. But we're just trying to give you the understanding here that you have the capability to do this. Now, oftentimes we're making what I call strategic Roth conversions over time at certain points in time, or soaking up different brackets, which we'll get into. But Ben, could you just break down what this Roth conversion actually looks like?
Yeah. And I think to demystify it a little bit, a Roth conversion is really just moving money from a pre-tax bucket into a Roth IRA. So oftentimes we're going traditional IRA to Roth IRA Some 401k plans do have provisions that allow you to move from a traditional 401k to a Roth. However, you don't, as an individual, have control over whether that is something available to you. So for intents and purposes, many times we're talking about traditional IRA into Roth IRA. We simply move the funds in, and instead of labeling it as a regular contribution for a tax year, we label it as a rollover contribution. And then importantly, that is, it creates a taxable event in your year-end tax form. So in whatever calendar year you make that conversion, you will owe taxes, or it will add directly to your adjusted gross income for the year, the amount that you roll over, right? So in Allison's example, if you rolled $100,000 over, in the IRS's eyes, you made $100,000 more in the year than you otherwise would have. So that'll have tax implications. It could move you up tax brackets, and that's where you want to be really mindful of the implications of moving that money over, because then you could get a nasty surprise in the following winter, spring, if not done intentionally. So with that in mind, Allison, I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about the tax planning that you do with our clients and how you help them think through whether strategic Roth conversions might make sense within their comprehensive plan.
Yes, and here's where we're just going to scratch the surface, because now that we've explained what is a Roth conversion, now it's how do we start to have the conversation of where it fits in, and that's going to be specific to you, but let me just try to at least paint the picture of how I think about this, looking at someone's plan. So big picture, let me just say, if you're working with a standard CPA, generally what I find sifting through tax returns and conversations with CPAs, they're trying to get you a deduction this year, right? So some of them might actually look at a Roth conversion and freak out, because why are we increasing your taxable income? Well, in my opinion, a good financial planner is trying to reduce your overall tax bill, not necessarily get the lowest tax bill we can this year, but look at the next 30 years and analyze what is the overall tax drag and how do we minimize this. So, and one more thing I do want to say too, if this isn't something that you're talking about with your financial planner, it should be part of the conversation. This strategy should come up as, does this make sense for me? Because even right now, 2024, in roughly 2 years, 2026, the tax code is sunsetting. It's reverting back to what it was in 2018, aka tax rates are set to increase. And that should mean something to you. Or if you are nearing or in retirement and you're, let's say, 5 to 10 years out from taking your first RMD, required minimum distribution, you should be talking about this with your planner. And if you're not, then you need to start and understanding, do I need to make some shifts, or am I good? You know, what percentage of my wealth is in a certain bucket, and should I be looking at Roth conversions? So anyhow, really relevant. I believe it's a part of any strategic plan as a conversation. Doesn't mean it makes sense for everybody, but it should be in the conversation. So when you look at someone's income and goals, here's how I think about a Roth conversion. You want to soak up the most favorable tax bracket, whether that is now or later. Sometimes I'll look for specific points in a client's life where they might have a low income. Maybe they're a high income earner, they've been working at Meta, and they just want to take a gap year. I'm saying to them, hey, let's talk about a strategic Roth conversion that's going to increase your income, right? Every time you do a conversion, it increases your income. And so there can be strategic times where this makes a lot of sense to make some of these shifts, right? It could be a gap year. It could be a year of low income. It could be your first year of retirement. I mean, those are just points in time where I might recommend, hey, let's do a little bit of a bigger one. So that's what I would call a strategic moment in time. But the other layer to this is peeling off certain, how do I describe this? so it's still strategic, but it could be in increments over time, right? Tiny conversions over time that, let's just say I'm in the 24% tax bracket. I've got 50 grand. If I increased my income over that, I'd be in the 32% bracket. We might want to consider taking 40,000 from my IRA, shifting it into my Roth IRA. I'm still maximizing and soaking up my favorable tax bracket right now. I'm not jumping into the next one, but ultimately I am making that strategic shift where I'm moving those dollars into Roth, right? So this doesn't always make sense, but it really can in certain situations. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but I hope that concept makes sense, because when we are making tiny shifts, it could be $10,000 conversion, it could be $100,000 conversion, you know, tiny conversions, big conversions, or conversions at specific points in your life, that truly can save, depending on how old you are, millions of estimated federal tax paid. So this is something that I do want people to know about. It's not, what's that phrase? Like the silver bullet, or it's not the end all be all, but it's a great strategy for some people and certainly should just be in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've talked about a few different moments where it may make sense for somebody, right? The gap year or the time that you're, you know, 50K below, jumping up tax brackets, significant in the case of the 24 to 32% in current tax code. What would be some parameters that people should think about, or how would you maybe outline the cautions that you would have from, you know, just everybody getting on the Roth conversion trail? So maybe said another way, what are some of those like moments in time or periods of time where it might not make sense for somebody to pursue this?
Yeah, so there should be a tax analysis performed and done on your behalf to figure out if this strategy makes sense, because sometimes it doesn't. And an example of when it doesn't. So I'm meeting with this couple. We're talking about the value of having the right percentages in tax defer, tax free, et cetera, different buckets. And at first they asked me, well, should I just contribute to my Roth 401k then? And in their case, no. It actually made sense for us to import a few other strategies, but essentially add in pre-tax, right? And get the deduction now and take those tax savings and actually fund a Roth conversion and a backdoor Roth, which we can talk about too. But there is a point in time where it doesn't just make sense to add in Roth, and there should be a mix, right? So some people, especially when you get into the upper echelons of income and higher tax brackets, it does and can make sense to ultimately fund and utilize the deduction from pre-tax, but then be sure we're using that deduction and taking those tax savings to then create a conversion that doesn't take us into the next tax bracket, but ultimately gives us a little shift that year, so that we can control our long-term tax bill, right? We still want to think long-term, not just getting the deduction this year, but how are we strategically making smaller shifts or utilizing after-tax or conversions or back to Roth, you know, all these strategies to do a podcast on, but making sure we're trying to minimize our long-term tax bill, our long-term tax drag. And that's where, in my opinion, you need a planner that is aware of the tax codes that you can ultimately think about this proactively versus just reacting at the end of the year.
So we've mentioned it a couple times in this episode. Let's hit it firmly. Let's talk a little bit. So we've talked a lot about Roth conversions, right? A strategy alongside of, or maybe in lieu of, Roth contribution. There's a totally other strategy to put more dollars into Roth, and it is called the backdoor Roth. And I think that's one that's maybe made it into common vernacular a little bit more. But to demystify it, could you describe what the backdoor Roth is and how it works?
Yes. So we've talked about Roth conversions. That's another thing. The backdoor Roth IRA is a strategy where let's say I want to not convert anything but contribute to a Roth IRA, but I'm over the income limit. Currently, what does exist as of 2024 is the backdoor Roth IRA strategy, which I essentially set up an IRA. Generally, it's best when you can cleanly do that and have $0 in an IRA. So, spoiler, if you have a big IRA, this might not make sense because essentially the conversion gets prorated or shift here. I shouldn't say conversion. Anyhow, squirrel. Okay, I have an IRA. I set up an IRA and I fund it with after-tax dollars. Okay, so I take $7,000, let's say, and I, after tax, I've already paid tax on that. I put it in an IRA and then I shift it over to a Roth IRA immediately. Essentially, I have funded a Roth IRA. I funded an IRA with after tax dollars, immediately shifted it to a Roth IRA. And that is currently what's called the backdoor Roth IRA strategy.
Yeah, so not necessarily a blockbuster way to add tons and tons of money in. You're still within that contribution limit. But yeah, mm-hmm. In the eyes of the IRS, you've done everything within the law, right? Because they allow for Roth conversions. They allow, in most cases, for traditional IRA contributions. And you're simply putting those two things together to effectively do the thing that you're not allowed to do, which is contribute directly to a Roth IRA if you're over that income limit. So something that is leveraged by some people who are over the Roth IRA contribution limit to effectively accomplish the same goal, but spin off a couple more tax forms and a little more admin work in the process.
Yeah, it's, you said it really well. It's not going to be the silver bullet to your plan, but it $7,000 a year adds up. And or maybe you're a really high income earner and your spouse doesn't work because they're doing some really hard work at home, maybe taking care of your kids, your whole family, but they don't earn income, and they might look at setting up a spousal IRA that doesn't require income and immediately funding that with after-tax dollars to then shift into a Roth IRA. And even if you're over the income limit, there you go. You've got another $7,000 a year going essentially into a Roth IRA. So there's a lot of things you can do here, but I think it's just, it's being aware of this and while you can, and utilizing conversions or backdoor Roths while it exists.
Yeah, there is no silver bullet. We should get a t-shirt that says that. There's no silver bullet. There's just comprehensive planning. you were teasing it right at the end there. But I do think, especially for somebody who's sort of hearing about some of these things for the first time and is thinking, oh, man, like from what I'm hearing, some of these things might apply to me. It's I think, important to point out a variable that, you know, none of us probably listening are members of U.S. Congress or House of Representatives. Email me if you are. I'd love to chat. But I think a lot of like the lay people think that, or I should say we perceive and sort of feel like legislation is set in stone. So things like Roth conversions or you know, backdoor Roths are just the law of the land. And they are the law of the land, but they're changeable. So two things to note. In 2021, the backdoor Roth and the mega backdoor that we talked about in a previous episode were both on the chopping block as a part of the 2021 Build Back Better legislative package that actually made it all the way through the House. It ended up dying in the Senate, but had it made it through, we'd be busy adapting and amending strategies to plan around the fact that we don't have those anymore. Similarly, in 2016, the backdoor Roth was on the chopping block at the end of the Obama administration for removal. So I don't bring those things up to say that we need to be scared so much as to say the best time to act concretely is in the present, because anytime we try to project legislation into the future, we're making educated guesses, and those guesses get worse and worse when we go even beyond the current administration.
Yes, and I think it's worth noting that when you look at the history of the tax code, and there are some people who they say, oh, well, what if I add into, let's just say Roth, but then the tax code changes or the IRS makes it a different rule and then it doesn't come out tax-free. And, oh, you know, I can't predict the future. And if someone tells you that they can, you should be wary of that. I can't, no one can. But ultimately, we can look historically at the tax code. And generally speaking, they grandfather in existing accounts, right? That's generally the precedent. So do what you can now, act concretely in the present, like Ben just said, because historically speaking, the changes in the tax code are, hey, for new people and contributions going forward, right? And typically grandfathered accounts are, you know, the rules remain the same.
Yeah, so I think the takeaway message here is we can't let fear of the future stop us from acting now. And we also shouldn't let, projections or guesses about the future, change our course of action. The best thing to do is to take the tax code that we have now, do the best that we can with it. And if and when it changes in the future, we'll adapt our plans to match it at that point. But again, takeaway message, there's a lot of ways that you can be clever and prudent within the current tax code. And, you know, taking action to figure out your best strategy within that is going to be something that pays a lot of dividends for you.
Yes, absolutely. This was a beast of an episode. Ultimately, we're trying to share somewhat of a complex strategy that can be played out in a lot of different ways. But here's the thing. Now you know a little bit about Roth conversions, shifting your wealth into different positions and spaces and tax wrappers, right? And ultimately that can be done. There are other strategies, but this is one you should know about. And also the backdoor Roth while that's around. So, oh, wow. that's kind of hard to talk about.
Yeah. Know that with this podcast, we are truly rooting for you. We're not trying to explain just enough of something to confuse you and scare you. No, we're trying to give you the vocabulary to have the right conversations with the right people that ultimately are going to result in you making progress. So take this, listen to it a second time if it's useful, and then go make the progress that you need to make in your life. And we're rooting for you all along the way.
Yes, we truly mean that. And to me, that's what abundance is trying to share information and equip people in an actual helpful way.
Our core goal and vision for this podcast is to make the concepts within financial planning and wealth management both accessible and digestible for people whose full-time work does not expose them to the financial services industry. If you'd like to get connected, ask questions, or suggest a topic for us to cover on an upcoming episode, feel free to reach out to us via email at ben@abundancewm.com. We'll include that email in the show notes as well. Thanks for listening to The Abundance Mindset. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, try to say Roth conversions.